Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the World Championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I.
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man. Alabama, welcome in. Cube Show, glad you're with us. Excited to be here today. Live local sports talk radio in the Tennessee Valley. We got Joe Block coming up today. Play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Talk some Major League Baseball. Pat Forty's going to be in to talk. Louisville. Seems like they might be in some trouble. But I tell you, we talked Monday that when the NBA Finals ended, that here we go. We got to start getting creative. Got to start coming up with some bits. Got to start being funny. Finding some things to talk about.
A lot of pressure.
Mayweather-McGregor drops. And now the NCAA drops the hammer on Louisville. Arky Shea, producer of the show, program director of Sports. We'll also visit with Mo Brooks. What do they call that baseball game? The Senate... Congressional baseball game?
I think it was just the congressional baseball game.
The congressional baseball game?
Yeah, because the whole bunch of congressmen.
That was yesterday. Mo Brooks was on site for that shooting in Arlington earlier this week. He'll join us at 9 o'clock just to give us his firsthand account and talk about this baseball game. The one, if there's a positive that came out of this, that baseball game, which usually raises $500,000-$600,000, raised well over $1 million for local charities there in D.C. yesterday. So that's a pretty cool story.
And a nice number of people who showed up.
So that's
like at Nationals Park. I didn't know they did that thing at Nationals Park.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff there. Also, we got to talk some U.S. Open at some point in time today. Did you get a chance to watch any of this yesterday?
No. Is Tiger in it?
He didn't make it. Didn't make it this year.
No.
But if you want to see PGA guys look like you, this is for you. I've never seen more guys hit from out of the rough back into the rough than I did yesterday in one single round. I mean, it was
that's my thing.
Shot after shot after shot after shot. And if there's a star of the U.S. Open, a lot of people would say this is it. It's Ricky Fowler. This is his time to shine. He's coming out. It's going to be big. No, the star of the show yesterday was Fescue.
Grass.
I would love to see someone go back and watch yesterday's coverage in its entirety and count the number of times the word fescue was used, because it's well into the thousands.
Now, Fescue is the golfer out of Scotland?
Yeah, no, he didn't make the tournament either. Phil Mickelson, not there either.
Ryan Fescue, is that who you're talking about?
No. Fescue is the thick grass that you see way over in the rough, and it was causing some problems for these guys yesterday.
Yeah, apparently it's a really, really, really wet summer so far, or I guess a spring for Wisconsin.
And by the way, let me just say this. Live golf until 8 p.m., I'm all in for that on a weeknight.
Are you really?
What else am I watching this time of year on a Thursday night?
Anything you want. It's God's creation for you at this point. You got a lot of film you can still break down. I haven't seen any Idaho Vandals tape from you yet.
Probably won't. Let me see.
Listen, I wasn't expecting San Diego State either. So,
well, when Phil Steele comes out and tells me they're the most experienced line in college football, and Tennessee is second, and then I get people telling me that Tennessee must be the best offensive line in the nation, I'm like, well, I better go watch the best offensive line in the nation.
No, it's all about returning starters.
If that's the way we're quantifying things. I don't see Idaho on any SEC schedules. Yeah, I'm not going to be watching.
Oh, the guy just beat
they're
SEC?
Like Division Four now, right? Didn't they go backwards?
Yeah, is this the first year they're doing that?
Yeah, other than
because this last year was the year that they got to a bowl game. They're like, "What do you want me to? What do you want us to do?"
Yeah, other than the Bison at North Dakota State, I don't really have any interest in teams below Division One.
Which, by the way, we're all over the place in this first segment. That's fine. It's Friday. Who cares?
That's the way the show happened. We did not free for all Friday.
We did not talk about that. They scheduled a game with North Alabama.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Is that?
Pretty cool deal. But I did watch a lot of the golf yesterday. Our routine from about 7:30 to 8:30 every night allows me a lot of just sit-down time because I'm managing Baby Cube 2 a lot during that one-hour, two-hour span. Even though I just named it as an hour, it sometimes can go longer than that. So we watched a lot of golf yesterday, and Jason Day, two triples yesterday? Mm-hmm. First time in his career he's had two triple bogeys in one round?
Yeah, almost it for the cycle.
Some guy, one of the broadcasters, which, by the way, the guy's calling the golf after Joe Buck, don't need him. I'm good. Good without any of them.
Are you?
Who's the American guy that won a couple U.S. Opens that used to do the Masters and now he's with Fox? Do you know?
I can find their announcement.
Been pretty critical before. He's a pretty famous golfer. He's actually pretty good. The rest of them, I don't need anything. But I'm still here to tell you, the way Fox does golf is great. Some of the different angles, even just the angles on the flight of the ball, and the fact that they give you the ball tracker on almost every drive, which is money, because how else do we know where in the hell that ball's going?
Right.
And especially yesterday, when guys were blasting it in the rough left and right, their coverage is phenomenal. Now, from a visual standpoint, because they give you so many different angles than I get from, I feel like the Masters gives you the exact same angles every year. Like, we never get anything different on that. Like, I don't get a sky cam, like a drone footage. You guys can put this camera right here, and you can move it 180 degrees, and that's it. You don't go anywhere else.
Well, I mean, once your blimp goes down, it's not really going to be in flames. You're not going to be able to get much from up there. Okay, let me ask this real quick. Of the coverage that you were watching yesterday, did you see something called there's like a measuring of the curve of the swing, like as it's in flight?
I did not see that yesterday. No.
Okay, because I saw one over the weekend. I was watching CBS.
Curtis Strange is the guy I'm thinking of. Curtis Strange is pretty good, but some of the other guys they have, I got nothing for them. I just don't. Sorry.
Oh, he's just reporting for them. Yeah. Shane Bacon, Ken Brown, Steve Flesch, Julie Inkster, Curtis Strange. Yeah, no.
I need to know the guy who's in the booth with him. Azinger, not great.
Paul Azinger, not good?
Not a big fan, sorry.
What about Brad Faxon?
I don't really remember him. But they do some different things. Like, they had Darren Clark with the really attractive lady that they post up there that's married to Eric Casilius, I believe.
The Holly Saunders?
Yeah. They get up there and they talk about things, so it's like they do kind of a locker room, and then they have a field reporter that does, like, the funny stuff that's kind of like the Kenny Mayne of the broadcast, and he was, like, laying down in the fescue and showing you how he measured it with a measuring tape. I'm like, that's a decent hit just because it's somewhat entertaining. But I feel like Azing was trying to throw in something. Like, he's like, that scorecard looks like a zip code.
I was like,
but let's think about that. Let's think about that for a minute. What?
Well, if you give me five holes, that works.
But I mean,
listen, I live in the 35757.
Yeah,
not all zip codes
are all big numbers.
Right. Three works for me. So is even five.
Like, if you were 35801 and the second and third holes were par fives, you're doing pretty good.
Sure, especially the O. Like, counting that one.
That guy didn't even need a stroke.
Skipping that one.
That's called magician's work right there.
We call that the Blaine. You know, you got albatross, you got bogey, I got Blaine. That's what I got. It's called the magician's stroke.
It's like he heard someone say that. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Listen, they're from California, mostly, I think. I wonder what Did you say Azinger said that?
I believe so, yeah. Joe Buck wouldn't say something like that.
Look, Joe Buck says a lot of goofy things. In fact, when we get to tweets, I have someone who's very critical of Joe Buck who tweeted at me yesterday who took a piece of advice that I like to usually do. I don't really usually have a big problem with Joe Buck, but I do have a problem with, like, the golf going until 8 o'clock. Like, for me, it feels like on a weeknight, you should be done by, like, 6.
My whole point is just that...
Start at 5 in the morning or something.
What? Yeah, I understand, but my whole point is there's nothing else on right now, so I think it makes it more valuable. Now, do I want it Sunday night at 8? No. But Thursday night, opening round, people need to get off work. It's going into the evening. You get to put live golf on. I'm all for it. I think it's great.
Yeah. I'm not, you know, I like how you like the gadgets. I don't really like the gadgets of golf. Like,
Some things are too much. I agree with that. Like, I keep it simple, but all I'm saying is new angles of the ball flight, higher angles above the greens, different angles. Those things to me are appealing. Especially when I want to see why the course is difficult. I don't want to just see a shot from behind the golfer hitting his ball. I want to see high, different, changing, moving angles as to why this course is giving them so many problems. And ultimately, that's fescue, which is why they couldn't stop talking about fescue yesterday.
I just don't like the fact that everybody likes lasers and radars and wants to know exit velocity and how many exact inches and centimeters the ball is from the cup. And
I don't really care about that. And the only reason I like the ball tracker is because, honestly, do we know it's going way left when they first hit it? Or if it's going dead straight, you normally have no idea. But at least when you give me that ball tracker, you're like, oh boy, that's trouble. Like Mickelson is going off the 10 again. But without the ball tracker, we have to sit there and do that fly with the ball where it looks like it's going Mach 8.
Or we listen to the announcer like Joe Buck go, oh, that's trouble. Like, all right, that's trouble. Let's see where it lands.
But a lot of times those guys aren't anywhere near the person hitting the drive, so they don't even really know.
A lot of times you can hear them go, just like, ooh. Like, yeah. Like they'll make a noise.
Oh,
you ever watch them like hit a shot and they're just like, they'll go, oh.
Oh, boy, that's nasty.
Like, that's not really an analysis. That's a noise. But I get what you're going. Not good.
And doesn't Fox have the really... The guy who has his own show on the Golf Channel? Does he not work for Fox? The really controversial dude?
Oh, talking about David Faraday?
Yes.
I love David Faraday. Well, no, the Golf Channel, that's like the NBC product.
NBC says him, yeah. Well, that's unfortunate because they don't really have any good golf tournaments, do they?
No. They have David Faraday, which I like.
All right, let's get to 10 after tweets. You can tweet in @CubeShow, best way to be a part of the show. Tweet @ColeCubic, @RQShea as well. Brought to you by First Family Mortgage. We get to them 10 after every hour.
Bring me the tweets!
This is an intriguing poll question here. I'm going to steal this from Dari Nokwa of the SEC Network. At ESPN, Dari tweets, if you open the door for someone to enter a business, should that person then allow you to move in front of him or her in line?
Okay, I'm listening.
This is good.
This is a good question. The answer is yes, clearly.
Of course it is. 57% say no out of 681 votes.
Let me tell you what I have done before. I have not held the door. Okay, so like if I like to go to like to a restaurant that serves sandwiches and makes them when you ask for them at the time, and it's a national brand that someone who liked images they shouldn't like as their national spokesperson, let's just say that's the restaurant I go to. If I'm going at a time that I know there's a chance it could be busy and I don't see a lot of people in there, but I see someone start to walk towards that door from the outside, I will speed walk in front of them so I get in front of them in line. I will start chugging my arms up and down like, gotta get in front of him. And if I do open the door, I do expect to get right back. I expect them to at least be like, thank you, appreciate it, go ahead. Why wouldn't you be allowed? You're clearly being nice. And you were clearly there first.
That feels like the no-brainer of all no-brainers.
It's manners, right? I've had it not happen to me where I've been like mad. And Mrs. Arkey gets mad that I get mad. She's like, just let it go. I'm like, we held the door for them. And by the way, I will not hold the door for like a family. Because that's like six sandwiches away from me getting something, and that's going to take a while. Well, if it's just like a single lady or a dude coming in, I'm like, I'll be nice.
Well, then this article...
Well, let me back in.
This article may help you. AL.com Huntsville tweets, 14 restaurants closing locations. Lita Gore has an article, and she references Clark.com is keeping a running tally of major chain restaurants closing locations. Here are the latest numbers and some other information on eateries that are struggling to keep up. These are all closing locations in the state of Alabama, but they're also struggling other places. Tell me if these surprise you or if you're thinking, yeah, it's not surprising.
Sure.
Papa Murphy's Pizza. Never been.
Yeah, I mean, I know of it.
But... Closing 16 stores this month. Bravo Cucina Italiana.
Oh, I've been there once. A little overrated.
Okay, looks like they're closing 50. Oh, they're currently 51 and 65 Brio Tuscan Grill locations.
Are they closing the one here?
These are just somewhere in Alabama. It doesn't say
man, because
Applebee's.
I had one like meatballs thing.
Apparently, Applebee's has been hit hard.
I got a gift card still there from like Christmas. I got to still go.
They'll close between 40 and 60 locations this year.
In this state?
God, retail is just
how many
not
are there?
Working.
Stupid millennials.
What is happening?
Millennials aren't buying anything, apparently.
Outback, Carrabba's, and your new favorite, Bonefish.
You can't. Now, listen.
You know the name of the company that owns all these?
Is it like some German company?
Bloomin' Brands.
Oh, that's lame. It's super lame.
It will close 43 underperforming restaurants this year.
I don't understand the at least the Bonefish I go to is very packed all the time. Well,
Subway.
Not all the time. Okay, that's just...
Now, this doesn't surprise me just because there's so many.
Yeah, I think maybe they got a little saturated.
There are a ton.
There are three inside my house right now.
359 Subways closed in 2016.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. That can't be all in this state.
You're too many.
Yeah, there's enough.
How many do you think in the thousands, I'll give you a hint,
okay, dang.
Subways there are in the United States?
71,000.
26,000.
Come on. That's not enough. They're closing 300?
Old Country Buffet, Ryan's Hometown Buffet. I've heard of Ryan's. I don't know what those
other
things are.
Well, they just closed like the Ryan's that my dad loves
like
last year.
11 in 9 states. Ruby Tuesdays?
No!
They're closing 95 of its company-owned restaurants in 2016.
These are all my eateries. Where am I going to go eat?
Logan's Roadhouse closed 34 locations as a part of its bankruptcy in 2016.
There's nothing else to eat.
Quiznos once had around 5,000 locations. Now they're down to less than 600.
Oh, man, they got crushed.
Well, you people jumped on the franchise bandwagons a little too hot and heavy there. Cheddar's.
Okay, honest to God, I was just
there's
there
165 Cheddar's in 28 states?
I was just there like 3 weeks ago.
I can't believe you went there.
They have this weird sandwich that's like you could put like a turkey and cheese sandwich. It's a hot sandwich, but like you're supposed to dip it into like raspberry jam, like a raspberry thing.
What?
Yeah, it's what is that thing called? It's a very fancy name. It's like it sounds like, I don't know, I'll think of it.
Chili's apparently is struggling.
I've got no food left to eat, Cole. What are you doing?
2.3% of their stores are expected to close this year. Joe's Crab Shack, they're down to 112 stores. Buffalo Wild Wings recently had a board shakeup, and chain missed its financial goals for 6 of the past 8 quarters. And
he's opened one next door here.
TGI Fridays. Struggled for years. CEO John Antiaco said some of its decline is due to traffic at malls, citing the chain's locations, blah, blah, blah.
How about the traffic at the mall that just got demolished here in Huntsville?
Well, also, when you shoot people up at Fridays late nights, that's not going to help business either.
Hey, let me ask you this. Where does Pinky go from here?
Great question. I don't know.
Our friend Pinky, when we had Fridays on the Sweet Deal of the Week.
Yeah, I don't.
She came in studio and
didn't know who Nick Saban was, but had an Alabama football shirt on.
It's okay. At least she had pink hair. It made sense. Like, at least she made sense. Like, Pink, it wasn't just like some real ironic, strange nickname.
She did make sense.
It was her name. I'm so. Like, that's everywhere I eat. I need new places to eat now.
John Isom at JD Isom tweets, Subway at airport next to the Turtle closed last year, though two others in a 2 mile radius from my home. They're everywhere, man. You can find those things in gas stations.
Oh, Walmart.
Malls, everywhere. Banana Ace tweets at Cube Show, breaking! Missouri wants to stay in the SEC East. In other news, water found to be wet.
Why wouldn't
hashtag win? More golf talk, hashtag less football, hashtag ratings gold. He wants more golf?
Who wants more golf talk?
Bama Ace at Bama 590.
But Bama.
Are there Bama guys doing well in the U.S. Open? That's what we need to focus on?
I don't know about, what's his name, Justin Thomas? Is that his name? He's an Alabama golfer who's like number two in the FedEx Cup, which is pretty darn good because there's only one guy ahead of him.
Now, I understand why retail and malls are struggling. And you could easily just point to online shopping. It's a simple solution.
Sure.
Why are all these restaurants struggling so bad?
Well, millennials don't eat. Everything's
got to hurt your life expectancy,
by the way.
Everything
that closes, people say.
I have to think if you don't consume food, you're going to be dead soon.
That's the irony of this whole thing. They don't know the millennials are going to die sooner than old people.
Just stay open and get through the wave of millennials that die off from starvation. Then you'll survive again. Are they not going out to eat? Or?
Oh, you can't tell me millennials are cooking at home. I don't believe that. But everybody blames millennials for everything that's closing.
I'm cool with that. What's the age on millennials? Like, what's the birth? When did it stop?
I think we're talking early 90s.
See what the old Wikipedia says about that. Millennials are known as Generation Y, demographic cohort, Generation X. There's no precise date for when this cohort starts or ends. Demographers or researchers typically use the early 1980s as starting birth years and the mid-1990s to early 2000s as ending birth years. So if you were born basically in the 80s or 90s, you're a millennial. So yeah, I know some of those that are sitting at home, not working.
Listen,
not pulling in income.
I was born in 85, but I don't really think I'm a millennial. Like, I think millennials snub their nose at me. Like,
call you
old man.
You're kind of an old soul, though.
True. That's so true. You totally got me.
When you wake up at 4:30, you kind of have to be. You don't have an option.
That's true. I ate dinner at 5.
I was thinking about that yesterday. I took Baby Cube to, by the way, have I told you how much she loves going to PetSmart? It's like the free zoo for us. And they have cats now. There was a while they didn't have cats in there. Now they got a couple cats in there, and she flips out when she sees cats. So she gets to see fish, turtles, snake, birds, cats, mice. They had a rabbit. I mean, it's like the free zoo. And she goes bonkers in there. So we had to go pick up some dog food. And so I take her. We get back home at like 5:15. And I'm thinking, we're getting ready to eat dinner and begin to wind down our evening. And most people, like, their jobs don't even start until now. Not most, but a lot of people.
Right.
I was thinking, like, man, I live a weird life now.
Yeah, but here's the cool thing about Friday. I get to stay up to like 10.
Can you is the question.
Oh, yeah.
I struggle too.
Yeah, I can stay up to like 10:15 if I push it.
Oh, I've committed to the TOC golf, fishing tournament this weekend, so I need to be on Lake Gunnersville at 5:15 Saturday morning.
Oh, man, you have gotten yourself into quite a pickle, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be trying to make myself go to sleep at like 7 tonight.
100%. Hey, do you ever try to like I will take like Benadryl about an hour before I go to bed.
Can't do it
because it's not supposed to put you to sleep. My wife says it's supposed to keep you asleep, and that's my biggest problem.
I feel so bad in the mornings when I wake up if I take anything like that or Tylenol PM whatever.
Yeah,
I cannot get going.
Really, I don't feel bad at all. But then I'm obese.
That is like the last. That's the end of the road for me. I have to be in bad shape as far as not being able to sleep or not feeling well, something like that, to take NyQuil, Tylenol PM, because I will struggle so desperately to get up and get here and be in a happy, functioning mood.
Like, I'll go in the, like, those, but the other thing I do these for is because I go to these giant buy in bulk stores. You can get like two of these buckets of like Benadryl for like $8.
Is that like liquid form?
Nah, well, I mean, it's just buckets of pills, but I'll take two before I go to bed. And I'll tell you what, I haven't itched in months. But also, Trying to get to sleep is interesting, too. I want to, since Bama Azlock's golf talk, I got a couple of tweets about the golf broadcast last night. Rudy Slowstroke tweeted at me yesterday, said, taking a page from Ed Arkishe and listening to the open on mute, Joe Buck is annoying AF.
Well, you're technically not listening to it if you have it on mute. You would be then watching it on mute.
I'm not...
Excuse my semantics there, but I just felt like that was an easy correction.
I'm not trying to, like, crush him, you know?
Matthew Knowles tweets in, please live tweet your fishing tomorrow.
Oh, don't do that. I'm not... Okay.
I'll try, but I'm not going to catch anything because I haven't gone out with 40% and tried to learn how to do it, so you it's going to be bad and boring again.
You can live tweet. I'll be asleep, so...
I think we go till like noon.
Yeah, don't think I'll try to sleep till noon.
If I catch a bass this year, that's a win. Because all I caught last year apparently was a drumfish, which is like an easy catch. And apparently they think I caught that on accident.
Moonpie_Buell.
Which I'm like, it's not an accident when I threw it in and reeled it and came back with a fish. How's that an accident?
Doesn't matter where
it's
I got him.
What I
could have got him in the butt. Doesn't matter.
It's like telling me the prayer to Jordan Hare was an accident. And you threw the ball with the intent to complete it. It was completed and scored a touchdown. That was the ultimate goal, right?
Took a couple of different bounces, probably what you're expecting, but the goal at the end was what you wanted.
Like if I hooked that thing around its midsection, it's not what I expected, but the ultimate goal was to get a
fish. Okay, let me say this. Do you think who was coming across the middle? Was it Sammy Coates that was coming across the middle that was like wide open?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so do you ever think what would have been different, what may have been different if Auburn had just thrown it to Sammy Coates? If Nick Marshall had thrown it to Sammy Coates, completing and kept the drive going, like...
Do I think they win?
No, I'm like, have you ever thought, just like, what if they didn't try that? What if on 4th and 18, you go to Sammy Coates for like 21?
Yeah, I would need to see...
And the drive has to keep going, obviously.
Yeah, I can't remember what the time was and things of that nature, like where they were in the game.
But I mean, like, that gives Georgia a lot more chances to stop the drive.
And depending on how much time left, maybe to get the ball back and have a prayer Jordan Hare of their own.
Which they almost had a prayer drive at Jordan Hare the other way.
Rusty Carter tweets at Cube Show, that sandwich Army was talking about is the Monte Cristo.
Yes!
It's a deep-fried turd of a sandwich. Hashtag disgusting. I would agree. You deep-fry one of those and serve it to me on a sandwich, I'm probably not into it.
Name's Arky, by the way. And secondly, yes.
I just read the tweets, man. Sorry.
We went there like... you know how, like, I officiate weddings? I was meeting with a couple there. They wanted to meet there. I'm like, cool. They're like, try this sandwich. And I had it, and I was like, this is gross. What are you guys doing? So maybe that's why they're closing, because it's Monte Cristo crap. It's like turkey. It's like four cheeses, and, like, it's in, like, a weird biscuit flaky thing. It's a hot sandwich, but you're supposed to dip all that into, like, a raspberry.
Hot dish!
Supposed to dip in, like, a raspberry jam thing. It's like, no thank you, ma'am.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and get physical, and I'm going to tell you whether or not Michael Phelps is going to race a great white shark at Shark Week. Right after this. Welcome back in, Cube Show Sports Radio, 7:30 and 103.9 The Yump. Appreciate you guys tuning in. You can listen live on umpsports.com. Go download the app in your app store, iPhone or Android. Search WUMP. Okay, let's get to the early morning audible.
Time for the Cube Show early morning audible.
Chubb's going to town. Touchdown, I think. Yeah, Chubby time, baby. Grandma, get out the right bread and mustard. It is grand salami time.
He's at the 50, the 40, the 35.
Yes!
He will score.
No Braves baseball, sadly, yesterday, Cole. Oh, yeah. Forgot to put that in. Braves do return to action tonight against the Marlins at 6:20 right here on Dump, 7:30 a.m. and 103.9 FM. Cole, the Colorado Rockies blew an 8-run lead yesterday.
That's a lot of runs, it feels like.
But they still walked it off in the bottom of the ninth. Right, Mel, take it!
Maybe keep Reynolds from scoring on a base hit. Ground ball right side, base hit. Rounding third, Reynolds. Pence up with the ball. His throw to the plate is wide! Raimel Tapia sends the Rockies home with a winner.
Rob Meltapia, not what you order at your local sushi place. It is actually a baseball player for the Colorado Rockies, and the Rockies do end up beating the Giants yesterday 10-9. Speaking of walk-offs, we got a few of those. How about Miguel Cabrera, Mickey going yard for just the first time in a game-winning style on the walk-off style. First time, it's his seventh career walk-off home run, first since 2013.
The 2-1 pitch, swinging a high fly ball right field, going back, Souza looking up, he leaps, and it's gone, a home run! Miguel Cabrera just over the outstretched glove of Steven Souza Jr. Tigers walk it off against the Rays.
Walking it off. Chris Davis walking it off against, against the Yankees.
The stretch and the righties 2-2. Breaking ball blooped in a shallow center. Racing out Castro, still going back over the shoulder. It's off his glove. Two runs are in, and the A's somehow, someway come off the deck, and they walk off the Yankees.
The Yankees were...
Somebody's pounding the desk on that call.
And the A's somehow, someway come off the deck, and they walk off the Yankees.
Yankees obviously were up 7-6 in the 10th. Look, they have flat-out sucked on this West Coast road trip. How about... You know what's better than hearing the winning call sometimes? The losing call. How about our man, John Sterling?
7-6 Yanks. The...
7-6 Yanks.
7-6 Yanks. The pitch is swung on. A high pop to shallow center. Castro out. Castro can't make the catch. Oakland wins. Little pop fly to center. It dunked in, and the Yankees lose 8-7.
Yeah, things are bringing that up. But, hey, losing calls are good. Hey, you know who also lost last night? I can't just throw this out there. I can't just have a Yankees loss in this goal. The Boston Red Sox lose to maybe the worst team in baseball, one of the worst teams, the Philadelphia Phillies, 1-0. Chris Sale strikes out 10. Has the only extra base hit for Boston in this game, and they lose 1-0.
Right-hander deals. Swing and a miss. He waved at another low splitter, and the ball game is over. The Phillies snap their 8-game losing streak. They end the Red Sox 3-game win streak and take the finale of his 4-game set, 1-0. What a tough loss for Chris Sale, who was brilliant. Like one run, four hits. Eight innings, and he gets a loss.
That's right, he gets a loss.
Stupid. Never go in that bell toll.
Stupid rest.
Well, the Undertaker's coming next, you know that, right?
I don't get to play it often. And that's it. It's all over.
You don't like it when the Undertaker's coming out. The lightning.
Oh, brother, it's the Taker.
The ring posts are going to come on fire.
It's more of a Kane thing, but, you know.
All that stuff. All right, we'll get to a break, come back, and get physical next. Welcome back in, Cube Show, Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Yump. Every morning we like to sort of keep you up on who's hurt, who's healthy, who's injured, who's getting banged up. We get physical. I get no doubt, but I go again. You're never gonna beat me down. I get no doubt, but I go again. You're never gonna beat me down. Two teen boys rescued after 3 days underground in skeleton-lined labyrinth of the catacombs of Paris?
Well, it just feels like a lot of words put together.
Two teenage boys been rescued after 3 days underground. Police say they alerted firefighters early Wednesday that boys aged 16 and 17 were missing. It's unclear how they got lost. They were...
It's a labyrinth. That's how they got lost.
They said teams of rescuers, including climbers and sniffer dogs, set out to search for the Utes and found them beneath Southern Palais a few hours later, suffering from slight hypothermia. Hypothermia does not seem something like you get a slight case of. Like, you either got that or you don't.
I got a slight case of
your toes are numb or they're not.
I got a slight case of the sniffles. Oh, I got a slight case of the hypothermia.
My feet are beginning to get numb, but they're not necessarily there just yet.
Just a skosh of it. It's just a skosh.
Now, I didn't really want to share this story with you, Arky, because of these two teens getting lost. Have you heard of this deal where they are? Do you know about this?
I didn't know about this.
The underground catacombs? Yeah.
You know about it?
Yeah.
Some 66 feet below Pelly, the catacombs hold the remains of... How many people do you think?
7 to 10.
Almost 6 million.
Yeah. Reput all the people.
Transferred there starting in the 1700s as public graveyards were closed. Wow.
Hey, let me take you to Eureka, California, where we almost had a new addition to the catacombs of Paris. But the person,
drop them off there.
But the person survived, and you're going to wonder how in just a moment. When police arrested a 29-year-old man who allegedly shot a man with a shotgun, officers in Northern California city of Eureka responded to reports of shots fired. The victim suffered non-life-threatening injuries, however, just to the hand. It's not because he was a bad shot, necessarily. It's because detectives caught up with the 29-year-old, investigated the shooting, and determined that the shotgun was stuffed with Rice Krispies. The shell itself was stuffed with Rice Krispies.
Wow.
He was booked to the county correctional facility for resisting arrest and probation violation. How about this, Cole? The victim identified the man positively, but declined to press charges.
Huh.
I don't know. Should I still press charges for you just for the effort of putting Rice Krispies into like a shotgun shell and trying to shoot it at me?
There was an offensive lineman who allegedly was consistently harassed by another teammate at Auburn before I arrived. I had multiple people confirm to me this story. And in Sewell Hall one afternoon, this guy who was tired of being harassed was an avid hunter. So he emptied a shell casing for his shotgun, placed it in his shotgun, and when said teammate enters his room, unloaded shotgun directly at the other individual.
What? That freaked me out.
How would you even mentally bounce back from that if you thought you had just been shot? Because I'm assuming it sounds the same and it's just air coming out of the shell casing.
I feel like we're not going to be friends.
Probably not.
Let me ask you this.
Probably not buddies hanging out anymore. Probably not going in that dude's room anymore either.
I probably wouldn't do that either. I probably wouldn't go near that guy's zip code. Let's say you're emptying a shell right now.
If you're crazy enough to play that prank, I feel like you're crazy enough to just go ahead and shoot somebody.
Maybe. Let's pretend you're emptying a shell today. What cereal is the best cereal to try to maim someone?
Now, I feel like
I think it's Cap'n Crunch.
You're not going to get...
Because those destroy your mouth. They got to destroy other body
parts. They're going to eat it. It's your skin, for sure. Mm. Now, the Rice Krispies, I think, is perfect because they're small, like pellet form almost.
Sure.
I think I've got it beat. Not that I've eaten much of this cereal in my life.
Apple Jacks?
And if you'll recall, when you were growing up, you probably saw a ton of commercials for it.
That turned into a breakfast cereal conversation.
Grape Nuts. Mm. Do you remember that cereal?
Yeah.
It's like little bitty... Just balls of something. I don't even know, like, why would you want nuts of grapes?
Yeah, it
anyway.
Sucked. It was awful.
I think I had it on, like, vacation at some point in time. Like, it was the only cereal they had at some hotel. And I tried it, and I was like, yeah, that is why they don't make those commercials anymore.
That's what you're supposed to put.
It's for old people, maybe, like, had fiber or something.
I don't understand. Like, you have to put it in milk for, like, 40 minutes before you can eat it. Like, it has to soften. It hurts.
You're right.
What is that?
Captain Crunch, same thing, really.
Oh, yeah, but at least Cap'n Crunch is good.
Yeah, peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
At least that's some,
get out of here
that's
with
some
that.
Nummy stuff.
But, yeah, I would think Grape Nuts and then Rice Krispies. And, yeah, because you got to have something that's small. Like Fruity Pebbles, maybe?
Fruity Pebbles?
Yeah, it's not going to hurt, but I'm just saying you can get more of them in so you'll get a bigger disbursement of the cereal.
I don't want the disbursement. I want things something that's going to hurt you. And that's what Cap'n Crunch does. I hate myself for what I'm about to do.
Cocoa Puffs, then.
I hate myself. Just a little round. Okay. I hate it for myself what I'm about to do. What's your number one cereal? What's your power ranking today? Your top three.
First off, you realize how long it's been since I've had cereal. It's been years.
It's been like hours for me.
Fruity Pebbles 1, Cinnamon Toast Crunch 2.
I respect you for Fruity Pebbles.
I can go through a box of Fruity Pebbles like that.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I definitely respect as well.
And I'm going to probably go Peanut Butter Captain Crunch 3, but I got to wait on it, like you said.
None of the...
You got to wait on it.
You, if you have to wait on the cereal, it can't be in the top 3.
Honeycomb?
Honeycombs? What?
I don't eat cereal.
You might as well eat Kix.
It's been a long time. Back with more Cube Show next.